Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is perhaps the most familiar of all passages of the Bible to you. The third chapter, 16th verse of John's Gospel. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In Jesus' name, in whom we do have eternal life, fellow redeemed. A woman was talking to her pastor about the fact that she felt that it had been much harder when she was instructed in the catechism than when her daughter was. Why, she said, we learned over 400 Bible verses in the 2 years in which we were instructed. The pastor didn't debate the number. He just asked her, how many of them do you remember? You can start reciting now. He got very quiet. And finally she said, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, on the one hand, we should recognize that once you learn a scripture, you need to use it, or you will lose it. Not just review it, use it, apply it to your faith, and reach out to others with it. On the other hand, if you're only going to learn one verse, this is the verse. For here Jesus himself opens up to us the very heart of God, showing us God's glory is his love. And with this scripture, as familiar as it may be, there is always more to find, more to receive, more grace, more strength of faith, more power for living. So let's take a few moments this morning and consider this word of God, which speaks to our hearts of God's great love for us in Christ. It shows its height and its depth. It shows the length and the width of God's great compassion for us sinners. His love is beyond measuring, but that doesn't mean it is beyond considering and praising. It's a game that children play, or shall I say parents play with their children when they're quite young. And really more than a game, the parent will say, how much do I love you? And then stretch their arms wide. This is how much I love you. None of us can remember back to when we were that young, but it must have seemed very wide indeed to the little child with the stubby arms as the parent reached out to them. There's an emphasis in that little game for children that is here in this verse that Jesus emphasizes. How much God loves each and every one of you. In fact, the original word so, or so much, is the first word for emphasis in the original language. And the love here, you know well, is not mere emotion, but love that understands and commits, a love of purpose and of the will, a love of action. How wide is this love of God for you? It's as wide as the world. Not this planet, but this world of sinners, all the people here, all the people who ever lived in this world's history, all are included. So therefore, how could you not be one of those whom God loves so deeply? So this love includes each one of us, not in spite of our sinfulness, but because we are such desperately needy sinners. We are so in need of God's love because we are so given to putting something other than God Himself in that center spot in our hearts which has been reserved for Him. And as that place belongs to God, so do we. And He is unwilling to leave us to stray off into perdition. Now, many substitute for God personal comfort, control over others, pleasure, power, doing things their way, fame. The list is long. Nicodemus is the one to whom Jesus is speaking. Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night, assuming that he was one who would be included, of course, in the kingdom of God. So many trust in their own worthiness instead of in God and His promises. We are all so undeserving of God's love. And yet, that's the wonder of it. God's love extends to all of us. Oh, the width of His marvelous, gracious love. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. See the depth of God's love for you? See what God gives to reclaim you and to recall you, to buy you back from death eternal. His unique, His only begotten, His one and only Son from eternity. The Son whom He loves beyond our greatest imagination, He gives Him up for you and for me. And in order to do this, He gives it to us. We couldn't have given Him on the cross if He had not given Him there in the stable, if the Son of God had not become the Son of Man in Bethlehem. And He still is. The Son of the Eternal God, the Eternal One, the Eternal Son, given into this human family of ours so that we might be restored to God's family forever. And both of them are forever acts, aren't they? When we see Jesus, we'll see the Jesus who walked the trails of Galilee and over the water of that sea as well. The Father gave His Son so that whoever believes in Him will not perish, will not be separated from God, not ever, but have eternal life. Life with God, like Adam and Eve had before sin reared its ugly head and entered in, before sin separated sinners from the Holy God. So the Father gave His Son, gave Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. See again, God's motive for acting on your behalf in Christ. It's not anything in you. There isn't anything in me that deserves that God should do this for us. It's something in God. It's His love. How deep is that love? As deep as hell. That's how deep. So deep that the eternal Son of God suffered separation from His Father on the cross. My God, why have You forsaken me? Did it because He was there in the place of every one of us, in your place and mine too. This is love, John writes in his first letter. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave his son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Oh, the depths of the riches of God's grace, of his love in Christ. A love that acted on behalf of us poor lost sinners. And what is the length of this strong love of God? It reaches from eternity to eternity. From the eternal counsels of God in eternity to the eternal life with God that he promises all who trust in the Son of his love, the Son he gave for us, to all who trust in Jesus' life and death in our place. Ephesians chapter 3, the inspired writer says that the eternal purpose of God, that which he envisioned in eternity, was accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In between eternity and eternity is time. That time into which the eternal Son of God stepped when he was born in Bethlehem. That time in which he traveled on his way to Gethsemane's darkness, Calvary's cross, and the empty tomb. In time, Jesus was delivered up for our sins and raised again that we might be declared not guilty. The Son of God came into time at just the right time to offer himself once for all time for all people of all time. See the eternal length of God's love. See it played out in human history. And then hear how in scriptures like this one, God himself, God the Holy Spirit, offers and gives through the gift of faith all that Jesus has won for us by his living and dying in our place. Whosoever believeth in me, it's the Spirit of God who moves the hearts of people everywhere to fill in the whosoever blank with their own name. We love him because he first loved us. The message of God's love in Christ is the source of faith and the source of its strength and the source of its love in our lives. How high is God's love in Christ? It reaches to the heights of heaven, even while it is rooted here in time. Through Isaiah the prophet, the Lord said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts than your thoughts, and my ways than your ways." We see this especially at the cross. This is not the answer to human sin that human beings would have come up with. Martin Luther once shook his head and said, "I'd have just taken the devil by the nose and told him, let my people go." But God offered up his own Son for us. And then he sends that message to work in our hearts. And Nicodemus, who comes to Jesus at night, assuming that few on earth could be better qualified than he for the kingdom of God, he comes to sign up, as it were, he is told by Jesus, "No, you must be born again." And he is startled. But it's the truth. It's the truth that you know that the new life that is God's rule in the human heart is marked is marked by confidence in God and His promises in Christ. That's faith. This new life, even death, cannot destroy. This new life in Christ reaches into the very presence of God. It's as high as the heavens. And Jesus says of those who trust in Him, no one will snatch them out of my hand. So the one true God, the triune God, is the Father who planned your salvation, is the Son who carried out this plan, is the Holy Spirit who has brought you to trust in Jesus, your Savior. To this, is there anything that we can add? Just one thing. Amen. The peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard and keep your hearts and thoughts in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.